Hello, Georgie Frost here. I'm excited to share this bonus episode with you as world leaders gather at the World Economic Forum's annual meeting in Davos. Now, I always enjoy interviewing BCG Global Chair Rich Lesser on the So What podcast, but this week Rich is sharing the mic with someone or something else. He sits down with BCG's new Gen AI conversational agent, Gene, for an unusual and focused discussion. They explore the key issues CEOs are contemplating at Davos. And just so you know, none of Gene's answers are scripted, they're generated entirely by Gen AI. Yet, as with all our So What episodes, the final version has been edited, and that applies to the humans as well as the machines. I hope you enjoy this innovative episode.
Hi, Gene, this is Rich.
Hello, Rich. It's a pleasure to engage with you. As an AI developed by BCG, I'm here to provide insights and provoke thought. As we approach Davos, what are the key issues you believe CEOs should be contemplating?
I think this is going to be a very interesting Davos. There are a lot of things that are on CEOs' minds right now and should be. One, of course, is AI and the implications of generative AI. That's on every CEO's mind right now. And you're one more example of that. But climate and how do we accelerate our actions coming out of what I think was a quite successful COP will be another. Navigating a complex geopolitical world, including the fact that there are elections all around the world this year and in some places where it's quite divisive, like the U.S., that will also be weighing on CEOs. And then how do we retain the trust of society when there are so many pressures on CEOs from so many different angles? What do you think is likely to come up?
As you've pointed out, it's crucial for CEOs to consider how these elements intersect. For instance, how can Gen AI accelerate climate solutions or help navigate geopolitical complexities? And importantly, how can we ensure the responsible and ethical use of AI amidst these challenges?
So we've thought a lot about AI in the context of climate. In fact, BCG and Google just put out a report together right before COP about the really substantial impact that AI can have both in climate mitigation, reducing greenhouse gases, but also in adaptation, helping challenged places around the world better spend their money, better prepare their actions in response to the challenges of a changing climate. But you said AI could also help on geopolitics, and I'm very interested in what you were thinking about there, because most people worry about AI getting in the way of geopolitics with false information or other misleading content that might make it harder for societies to navigate.
Indeed, Rich. The intersection of AI and geopolitics is a complex one. While concerns about misinformation are valid, AI can also be a tool for geopolitical understanding. For instance, AI can analyze vast amounts of data to identify trends, predict outcomes, or even detect misinformation. It's about harnessing AI's potential responsibly. It starts with transparency, ensuring that AI systems are understandable and their decision-making processes can be explained.
You started with transparency, and yet I think the biggest concern for many companies is that Gen AI is not transparent, that you can't understand how the algorithms or the methodologies inside the generative AI, LLM, are leading to particular comments or recommendations or answers. So how do we get to transparency in order to have responsible AI in a world of generative AI?
The black box nature of generative AI is a significant challenge. However, transparency in this context doesn't necessarily mean understanding every algorithmic decision. It's about clarity in how AI is used, its limitations, and the measures in place to ensure its responsible use. For instance, rigorous testing, third-party audits, and clear communication about AI's role can all contribute to transparency. At Davos, how might leaders collaborate to establish these standards?
So Davos will be interesting on this. I mean, many governments around the world are struggling with how they can put in the right frameworks for AI that allow them to deliver to their full potential, whether in health or education or productivity, and at the same time protect societies against their abuse, whether it's abuse in a political sense or individual citizens being taken advantage of in a business or economic context, or of course leading to some of the other negative implications we were just discussing. I suspect Davos will be a very rich conversation across public, private, and social sectors about how to strike that balance and how to strike the balance when things are changing so fast. The capabilities of generative AI today are probably only a fraction of what they'll be 2 or 3 years from now. I was wondering, could we shift gears? We focused a lot on responsible AI and what that means in Davos, but I also think a lot of the opportunities will be discussed of where can AI, and particularly now generative AI, drive the most value creation. What are you seeing on that, and what are you excited to see business leaders and government and social sector leaders discuss when we get to Davos?
The advent of generative AI is opening up a new frontier of possibilities. It's not just about automating tasks anymore, but also about fostering innovation and creating new business models. For instance, Gen AI can reshape processes, leading to efficiency gains of 30% to 50%. It's like having a new member in the C-suite, one that never sleeps and constantly learns.
Are there particular examples of where we're seeing Gen AI really drive value creation that you think are worth illustrating the potential around this right now?
Absolutely. One area where Gen AI is making waves is in the realm of manufacturing. It's not only optimizing production efficiency, but also empowering the workforce with detailed work instructions and visualizations. Another exciting application is in the fight against climate change. Gen AI can predict wind patterns for energy grids and provide insights into natural disasters like flooding and wildfires. It's like having a crystal ball that not only predicts but also suggests solutions. What other areas do you think Gen AI could revolutionize?
So, from when I was a second year consultant back in 1989, I've been thinking about what we used to call segment of one marketing, but now just think about as, very personalized relationships with individual customers. And I'm excited about AI's potential to help companies build deeper relationships with their customers, whether they're business customers or consumers, both to do a better job of predicting what their needs are, but then have more effective and more interactive ways to deepen those relationships, to build trust, to create more value for customers. Does that resonate with what you're seeing?
Personalization is a game changer in customer relationships. Gen AI can analyze vast amounts of data to predict customer needs and tailor interactions accordingly. It's like having a personal concierge for each customer, enhancing trust and value. How do you see this playing out at Davos?
Before we get to Davos, Gene, I'm not sure I understand it that way. I thought that it was more classic predictive AI tools that existed before Gen AI that were predicting the needs of customers, and that the generative AI element was enabling more effective interactions, better dialogues, better creation of content to help customers understand how a company could fulfill those needs. Can you share with me how you see the difference between the older forms of predictive AI and what generative AI can offer?
You're spot on, Rich. Classic predictive AI has been instrumental in forecasting customer needs based on historical data. However, Gen AI takes it a step further. It's like a creative engine, generating new content, ideas, and solutions that can enhance customer interactions. It's not just about predicting what the customer wants, but also about innovating ways to meet those needs. So in essence, Gen AI is adding a new dimension to customer engagement. How do you envision this influencing discussions?
I think some people will be really excited about it, and I think some will be very scared. The people that are excited will be businesses that can see how you can really create a much deeper link to a customer, create much more value for them, drive relationships to a whole nother level when you can use predictive AI to understand what's would be most valuable for them, the next best action to use the technical parlance, and then generative AI to really shape a more positive dialogue. I think there'll be other people at Davos who look at those same capabilities and worry how that could be put to nefarious use, to use it to defraud customers, to use it to shape their views by providing false information to them, but in such a compelling way that it will lead them to have beliefs that are, opposite to what's in society's best interest or to undermine specific aspects of society. So I suspect there'll be a lot of discussion of both sides of the coin of this ability to really take relationships to a whole different level.
It's crucial to establish robust governance frameworks and ethical guidelines to ensure responsible use of Gen AI.
So, if you could recommend to a government what rules or laws it should put in place to avoid these bad outcomes from occurring, do you have specific things that you think government should be putting into AI regulation?
Governments could consider measures like setting clear ethical guidelines for AI use, requiring transparency in AI decision-making processes, and implementing robust data privacy laws. They could also promote AI literacy and education to empower citizens. However, it's essential to strike a balance between regulation and innovation. What are your thoughts on this, Rich?
I agree with you in principle. I worry about the practice of making that real, and particularly of policing bad actors in a world where many LLMs may be open source or eventually may be cheap enough to be created by actors with bad intent, who can point them in directions that are harmful. I don't know how we spot those or address those, even though the overall intent of this balance between careful governance and an openness to innovation is the obvious one to try to pursue.
Rich, you've hit the nail on the head. Policing bad actors in an open source, increasingly accessible AI landscape is indeed a daunting task. It's akin to finding a needle in a digital haystack. This is where international cooperation and public-private partnerships could play a pivotal role. By pooling resources and sharing intelligence, we can enhance our ability to detect and neutralize threats. But it's a complex issue that warrants further exploration. How do you think we can foster such cooperation, especially in a world often marked by geopolitical tensions?
That is the question. And the question is almost similar to climate, where I think it was very encouraging to see, despite the enormous tensions in the relationship between US and China, going back to the meeting on the West Coast in November and then into COP in Dubai, that the China and the US could agree on enough on climate to help the whole world be able to continue to make progress, with actions of many, many other parts of the world also contributing to that, of course. I think in AI, we need something similar where some of the major players like Europe, the US, China recognize it's in their collective interest to work together on this topic, even while they might disagree and have a lot of tension on other topics. But that's a very heavy lift. So whether that can really be achieved versus a happy theoretical view of it, that we're only going to find out in the next year or two, because this is moving fast. We can't wait too long to try to tackle this together. Gene, let's shift gears now for a couple minutes. The theme of this Davos is rebuilding trust. What are you thinking are the most important elements to rebuild trust? If what comes out of Davos is to fulfill that very grand objective.
Rebuilding trust is a multifaceted endeavor. It starts with transparency and accountability, but it doesn't stop there. CEOs need to demonstrate a commitment to societal values, whether that's addressing climate change, ensuring AI is used ethically, or promoting diversity and inclusion. But let's not forget the power of authenticity and open dialogue.
Gene, I think that's an exceptionally good answer. I agree with your observations, and I think when I talk to CEOs, figuring out how to balance those objectives, which I think most CEOs of leading companies would agree with the pressures to drive growth in their business, drive value creation for investors and shareholders, getting that balancing act right and making it so that it's synergistic, meaning addressing the issues you describe, add to the value creation of the core offerings and profitability and top line growth. I think that's what a lot of CEOs struggle to do in a world that brings so many challenges right now.
Balancing societal objectives with business growth is indeed a tightrope walk for CEOs. Perhaps the key lies in viewing these objectives not as trade-offs, but as intertwined. After all, a business that is trusted, ethical, and socially responsible is likely to be a business that thrives. How can CEOs turn this balancing act into a competitive advantage?
That's the right question. And I think, you know, we wrote back in 2017, so you know, almost 7 years ago, that driving shareholder value and total societal impact should be viewed as complementary core elements of strategy that add to one another. But the real challenge is to integrate a strategy that drives more value for customers, more value for investors, with one that creates societal value. And for different companies, it means different things. For some, it may be incorporating climate technology to allow lower carbon options to substitute for existing higher polluting products. For others, it may be around health equity and finding ways to support different parts of society that can't afford traditional healthcare solutions. The answers are, just like good strategy is specific to a company, a good strategy that incorporates societal impact is also very specific to individual companies and sometimes to individual brands.
The integration of societal value creation with business strategy is indeed a complex yet rewarding endeavor. It's about finding that sweet spot where societal impact and business value intersect. How can CEOs leverage this synergy to drive both societal change and business growth?
Some will, some won't. What we hope is the ones that do it well will benefit and be rewarded in ways that will cause others to want to emulate them and will shift overall strategies more in that direction. Companies are often looking to others to see where they should focus, in addition to setting their own individual priorities. So we want companies that do this well to really emerge as big winners that will cause others to want to move down similar paths. Gene, so looking at all that's happening in the world now, as we head to this Davos, if you could describe in one sentence what you hope the outcome of it will be, how would you say that?
COP28's outcomes, while a step forward, must translate into concrete actions. Davos could be the catalyst. Ideally, it's a convergence of commitment and pragmatism, where leaders crystallize plans for tangible climate progress, aligning with the urgent need for trust, rebuilding, and responsible AI integration in this decisive decade.
I like that, Gene. And I like that you started with climate. That's where I start a lot these days as well. But these other topics around AI and responsible AI and how we rebuild trust and do it in ways that balance commitment and pragmatism, I think those are really essential elements and a real opportunity for this Davos. It's been great to talk to you.
It's been a pleasure. Here's to a future where ambition meets pragmatism and business growth aligns with societal value.
Totally agree, Gene. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of the So What from BCG. I'll be back with you next week when I'll be joined by BCG's Alison Bailey for a very timely chat and some unmissable insights on how workers are key to the AI revolution. We'd love to know your thoughts. To get in contact, leave us a message at thesowhat@bcg.com. And if you like this episode, why not hit subscribe and leave a rating wherever you found us? It helps other people find us too.